Previously on Thomas and the Bible, I miss Harley. Harley, I'm sure you have very good reasons that you can't do intros anymore. And not that you really even need a reason, because it was fully voluntary and just a cool thing, but I miss you. Your previously ons are, they add a lot. So, cause I mean, listen to this. This is awful. This is, it's not going well. How do I put it mildly? Well, alright. That's it. That was the worst intro yet. All right. Well, here we are. Episode, this is, I mean, not that it matters too much, but it kind of does. Episode 209, Thomas and the Bible. I think we're doing 260. We're closing in. Actually, you know, that is an interesting milestone or almost more like a countdown. I just realized we are 1 year from finishing as of probably last episode. So if I look at the date here, we are set to finish. Yeah. So last episode was the 1 year to go. So, and I know that seems like a long time, but it's not. It goes by quickly. So, yeah. All right. Well, here we are to read Mark 12 through 14. And I'm excited. Can you sense my excitement? My blood pressure is through the roof just in excitement for this. Can't wait. So, I just don't even... Whoo, man, let me... And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man... Oh, God, again with the parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen, oh, this is the one where he set someone to, like, guard something, and they just take it, or something, is that what it was? Something like that. That he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. Also wounded him in the head. That meant psychologically. They just, like, insulted him. And they made fun of what he was wearing. And then he went back. He's like, nah. So that's how they used to do it back then. It's I've been wanting to read using more context and more historical accuracy. So I just want to throw that in there. That's when they say wounded in the head, it actually means bullied. You know, like they made fun of his appearance or, you know, very common... I'm doing some histrionics. Now, what the hell? Hermeneutics. And again, he sent another, and they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. This is already, whoever is doing this is a moron. What, it's like, you know, kill my, injure my messenger once, shame on you. Injure my messenger 72 times. And actually kill my messenger most of those times. I'm going to go ahead and say shame on me for that if I'm that guy. Let's see. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also the last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But they, well, then, why didn't you send him first? So, okay. I think I probably said all these things last time. But it's just too stupid of a lesson. I don't know if... people back in the day or even now think this is some valuable lesson, but it's like, this is stupid. I don't want to hear a parable where I would never do what the person did. Like, it's just, it's unrelatable. Like, it's like hearing a parable about something where I can't relate at all to what's happening. They will reverence my son, but those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? Maybe learn something one time? He will come and destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. So that's that he like tricked him, because everyone wants to kill Jesus all the time. It's a weird thing, as I've gone over many a time. You go and you heal a bunch of people, you give them infinite food. You know, you're just like, hey, you need some more loaves and, you know, maybe some more fishes. Bam! Loaves and fishes, as many as you can eat. Huh? And then people go, kill him. Delectable loaves and fishes, as far as the eye can see. Kill that man right now. He's giving us food, curing our sick. How dare you? You cannot do such things. Lay hands on him, men. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared, I read that. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, to catch him in his words. Oh, this is one of the many times when they're like, ah, we're going to get him. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of man, but teachest the way of God is truth, in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? I wonder if this is where we're going to render some stuff unto Caesar. This is getting, I don't know if I've, it's like I'm having premonitions of the book. Maybe I'm holy in some way, because I feel like I know what's going to happen. Oh, never mind. Sorry. We have to read the same thing over and over. Never mind. Okay. For a second, I was thinking like maybe I'm a prophet, but no. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. Yeah. And they brought it. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and the superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the thing that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Yeah, they didn't see that coming. They should have read the book. they should have read the last few Gospels. Then maybe they would have seen that coming. Then come unto him the Sadducees, and which say there is no resurrection. And they asked for him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother shall take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took, oh, this is one of those riddles that I love when they challenge Jesus on this. Jesus, legal question for you. I got just a point of, you know, we got a minor procedural question. Dying left no seed, and the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise, and the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. Finally, someone cares about her feelings. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife, and Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And what do we say to the God of the dead? Not today. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, yeah, reasoning, nothing that happened there could be called reasoning by any stretch of the imagination. Complete bullshittery is what it was. And perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not two, not three. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, even with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto them, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after durst ask him any questions. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore David called himself calleth him the Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them, in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour our windows, houses, and for pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. And Jesus said, we don't need your mites here. Get out of here. What are we going to do with these mites? Thanks very much, poor person. No, actually, Jesus didn't say that. He said, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And she died shortly after, in misery, by the way. No, poor and hungry. This is interesting, because if I were, like, say, the Christian right, what I would say from this is, well, it sounds like taxes should be like 100% on rich people, and then like maybe 97% on poor people. They should be, you know, taxes should be like 98% for everybody. And then I don't know where all that money goes, I guess, to poor people. I don't know. I don't think we have that many poor people. If we tax that much, then the poor people would actually make more on the deal. But anyway, if I were a Republican, isn't that what you'd think? Like a Christian Republican, wouldn't you think like, well, this is what Jesus said. So I mean, it sounds like we have to do this. I really don't get it. I know this has been the theme of the New Testament, but I really don't understand how the Christian right is so literally diametrically opposed to everything Jesus said. It's unbelievable. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Oh, this is Mark 13. And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Then how do we trust you? How do I know you're Christ? I don't know. Suspicious. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now thy brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let him that be in Judea flee to the mountains. and let him that is on housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. Just fly from the house. How's that going to work? And let him that is in the field not turn back again for the take up, for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, and he hath shortened his days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ, that's the brilliant part of being the first one to claim you're the Son of God. Because then you just be like, hey, I'm the Son of God. And everyone's like, this is unheard of. I've never heard anyone claim this before. It must be true. And then he's like, yeah, oh, that's right. It's definitely true. Furthermore, here's my message. Anyone else after me who claims they're the Son of God, not true, not it. They are not it. And you know how you know? I'm the Son of God. Would I ever lie to you? Would the Son of God ever lie to you? No. Therefore, do not trust anyone but me. For false Christs and prophets, shall rise and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Again with the parables. Everyone groans at this point. They're all like, for a second, everyone was interested, like, oh, this is sounds like some end of the world stuff. This is cool. I'm into that. And then he says, now hear the parable. I'm out. Sighs roared across the crowd. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. I promise it's incredibly boring and you won't understand it. Now here I go. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say that you didn't need a parable for that. That is not even a parable. That's not a parable. That's like a sentence of comparison. Hey, you know how you can tell when something's happening? Well, you'll be able to tell when this is happening. That's the entire thing. That's the whole parable, guys. Hey, you know, sometimes like you get an indicator of when something's coming. Well, it'll be like that for the end of the world. Wow, that's brilliant. Thank you. Woo-hoo, let me go process that. Anyway, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, and pay attention, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the earth, of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, I say unto all, watch. So, I wonder, like, remember that time when Jesus was like, look, I'm going to speak in parables so that, you know, I can explain it to my followers later, my disciples later, but the people won't understand it. Which, again, is dubious. That doesn't make any sense. Why even bother? What's the point? But then this one, I wonder if Jesus went back and was like, hey, so you guys want me to translate that parable for you? They're like, no, I think we got it. What? No, it was a parable. It was code. You have no idea what that, I guarantee you have no idea what that meant. No, I think the one where he was like one sentence, you just said, here's the parable. It's like when the fig tree's leaves are ready, then, you know, it's going to be ready. Yeah. You know what that means? Yeah, just what you said. When, you know, you'll see signs before the thing's going to happen. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. So you don't need me to translate it for you. No. It's pretty clear. Pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. Not one of your better parables, I must say. It's probably one of the weakest ones I've ever heard in my entire life. And in fact, I don't even think you can call that a parable. Like, technically, you might want to check if there's any sort of regulations on that. But it just was a sentence of explanation or an analogy or something. 14. So Mark 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. So they did some crafting. I made you some keychains out of little rubber things. And now, are you dead yet? No. Damn. Okay. Time to make God's eye out of yarn or whatever. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye not have always. So she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So some crazy woman barges in, dumps some oil on Jesus for some reason. I don't know if it's like one of those PETA demonstrations. Maybe oil, Jesus was wearing some furs. Maybe he was wearing a seal skin thing. And then she got like whale or she got like oil that, comes from like blubber. And she's like, it's like sort of an animal rights thing. And then Jesus, everyone's mad at her, like, come on, woman, we could have sold that for hundreds and given it to the poor like Jesus has been telling us to do all week. He's been nonstop, like, give it to the poor, give it to the poor. We got this precious oil, and you just dump it on Jesus's head for no reason. By the way, what the F? What is that for? And then Jesus is like, nah, it's fine because I may be leaving you soon, but you'll be able to help the poor anytime. I like that comment, like, yeah, whatever. The poor, they're poor. They're going to continue. They're poor today. They're poor tomorrow. They're always poor. But me, you only have one chance to dump a bottle of oil on me, which is apparently very critical. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And that's because she's never really done anything else. So it's kind of like a small town thing where someone has one accomplishment and that's what they're known for forever. Oh, that's the woman that poured the oil for no reason. Yeah, that's her. Did she ever do anything else? No, that's the only thing. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. It just apropos of nothing. I like when they don't even bother trying to do a storyline. Like they don't give us any indication what Judas is thinking. They don't, I mean, there's just nothing. It's like, oh, and then Judas went and betrayed Jesus because, just that's what happened. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Yeah, I like betraying people, but only conveniently. I don't want to be inconvenienced. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, Goodman, John Goodman, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, and where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will shew you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And Judas Iscariot must have been like, well, it's not me because I already did betray him. So is there another guy? How many people are betraying him around here? And they begin to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, and another said, is it I? And he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Oh, someone double dipped. That's what happened. That's what this is about. So Judas goes, whew, he's just talking about double dipping. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. But then how would your master plan where you get betrayed, which is all your plan, and then you get murdered, which is all your plan? Like, it sounds like Judas is doing you a favor. I don't know. How would you do this if not for him? And they did eat. Jesus took the bread and blessed and break it and gave it to them and said, take it. This is my body. And they went, did I do this last time? I can't remember. Well, that's what you get around here. The same jokes again. Oh, your body? Oh my God. I don't want to eat your body, you disgusting creep. Why are you giving me your body to eat? Just go. I wanted bread. I picked up bread because I wanted bread. You know why we have bread? Because that's good. It's good bread. We like bread. If we wanted to eat your body, we would do that. I mean, we could overpower you. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, I'm going to wash down all that disgusting body with some fresh wine. Thank you very much. And they all drank of it. And they said, this is my blood of the new. Oh, God. Now I'm drinking your blood? Come on, man. I think I did this last time. Sorry. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Oh, it's like when when a movie says its name, you know, like, Welcome to the Rock. They're like, oh, yeah, that's the name of the movie. Cool. It's like that. This is the New Testament, he said, winking. Verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it from the new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung him and him, he went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus say unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet not will I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in the night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also, all of them said that, basically. There's some, likewise, also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sorry, the language is so much harder now for some reason, sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt, because thou art me. I still don't get how this works. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Yeah, well, you were pretty boring, to be honest. I thought you were going to be more interesting. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is so weak. And I thought that was something that people had said when they couldn't get an erection. I thought that's all. I didn't even know that was from the Bible. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and from the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them, I'm not sure why that was necessary, really, because it's like, that would be the kind of thing you do if it was some spy, you know, thing where it's like, oh, I just am going to indicate, like, or I'm going to kind of point, or like, whoever I get, or like The Wire, where he's like, whoever I put the hat on, that's who's like a kingpin. And the reason he has to do that is because he wants to protect his identity or protect the fact that he's betraying him. But when it's like, hey, I'm going to go make out with a dude and then arrest him. What is the point? Just point to him. I'm going to go say, this is the guy, and then take him away. I mean, I guess you could say that he's somehow, Judas is protecting his identity, but he's just kissing him, and then coincidentally, they're arresting him. Like, right, like Jesus wouldn't figure... Jesus doesn't have to be the Son of God to figure that out. That's all I have to say. And one of them stood by and drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And they left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all chief priests and elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answered thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest answered him, or asked him, and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And he shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And then some began to spit on him, and cover his face, and to buffet him, and say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hand. And as Peter went beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. Spoiler alert, Peter might deny this, I think, maybe. But he denied, said, oh, well, there you go. I am just omniscient. He denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he said, Kay, I don't know, I don't speak any English, I don't know. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I don't speak of the, what was it written in? Is it Greek? Is the New Testament in Greek or is it in, yeah, I don't know. I don't speak of the Greek. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and he's like, someone stop that cock from crewing. It's killing me. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Because he was so predictable. All right, well, that's our show. Let's see. Okay. I got a couple new patrons, I think. I don't know if I thanked Jimmy Miles already. If I have, I don't care. I'm going to thank him again. Thank you, Jimmy Miles. And then Jeremy also. Thank you, Jeremy, for becoming a new patron. I really appreciate it, you guys. Support the show and let it carry on. I think this has been very interesting. I'm tired of reading the same gospel 100 times. I think we have to do it, what, 2 more times or 1 more time? But anyway, I'll try to figure out a way to make new jokes. I'm also thinking about the future. You know, it's going to be fun to do different books. I can also do some of the, you know, gospels that are like, you know, not officially part of the Bible. There's lots of stuff I can do. And of course, when I do, the patrons will be the first to hear about it. So patreon.com/TNTheB. Just thinking of the future. Again, we have another year until this is over. But in the meantime, you can support the project there and you know, show your thanks. And I really appreciate the people who have. You're most kind. And with that said, I need to thank my all-time pledgers. John Bodley. Thank you, John. Marcel. Thank you, Marcel. Oh, Marcel, I've been meaning to reply to your email, but I sorry, I haven't gotten the time. But don't worry, I haven't lost it. Japandan. Oh, is this a new Japandan? Maybe it's a different username than I read. I don't remember that. Sorry. Well, anyway, thank you, Japandan. Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Garifort, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Eriberto. Thank you guys. I really, really, really appreciate it. You're supporting things that you love, like this podcast. And I would encourage you, even if you're not going to support my podcast, support anything that is on Patreon that you like, because it is a really good, like I said last week with the hack, like it's a great site. I really believe in patreon.com. I think that they keep their fees low so that the, you know, the creators get the bulk of the money, which is, I think, is a really good thing for creativity and to help foster creative endeavors. And it's a really cool thing. You can support people like never before, you know, but back in the day, sorry for the small tangent, but back in the day, you know, if you wanted to buy an album or buy a movie, it's just going to the studio or the producer or the whoever. You have no idea if the money is actually going to the thing that you care about. But nowadays with Patreon, you know, that doesn't exist. So even if you don't want to patronize me, I understood, no problem. I'd encourage you, send a few dollars to anyone, your favorite thing that's on Patreon. It's a good thing. All right, with that said, I will see you guys next week for the thrilling continuation of the not thrilling story that we've heard 100 times. All right, see ya.